Hey guys, it's Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'd like to welcome you to episode number 33 of Cut the Fat Podcast. As you know, Blythe and I have had a little bit of difficulty getting together to podcast for you guys, but we've now figured out a way to be able to podcast via Skype and still deliver good quality audio. So I want you guys to hang in there. We're going to start recording this week, and I'm going to start bringing you these podcasts probably within 1 to 2 weeks. So stay tuned and be ready for a year of moving towards your weight loss and health and wellness goals. All right? Now, today what I'd like to do is I'd like to bring you a teleseminar that I did about a week ago where I was talking to a financial group about how to make this year your best year yet. Now, I start off by giving you a little bit about my story, and I can't recall if I've ever told you my story in previous podcasts, but if not, hopefully you're in for a treat. It kind of explains to you where I started in this world of health, fitness, and weight loss. So look to Cut the Fat Podcast Season 3 coming up here in a week or two, and I'll see you guys at the end of this podcast. All right, so I'm assuming that everyone here is on this call because they want some insight into how to turn an otherwise average, kind of run-of-the-mill year into the best year of their life as it pertains to health and body. So what I've been told is I get about 30 minutes or less to reach deep into your soul and give you guys what you need to make that happen. And damn it, I'm going to do it. So strap in. We're going to be moving fast. Okay, so let me start by asking you guys a question. Does this year feel any different than it did last year? I mean, really think about it. Usually by the third week of January, most people are beginning to realize that their New Year's resolutions are not exactly materializing before their eyes. At least that's what I notice among the people that come into our office. And then usually by mid-February, the romance of the new year is over. And like many of our relationships, we go to bed and wake up without an ounce of anticipation and excitement left in our bodies. It's just another day of what I call the three W's, which is wake, work, and then whine about the day. Does that sound like any of your lives? So the million-dollar question is, how do we get and keep that motivation that allows us to have that amazing year that you know, will look back on December 31st and gasp in awe of what you've accomplished this year? And actually, I actually stumbled upon the first secret by accident when I was about 12 years old. At 12, you know, life is fantastic. You live your life from day to day, and you really have very few, if any, worries. And that was certainly the case for me. I was happy. I had two loving parents, two brothers and a sister to play with. And what can I say? Life was simple, and it was good. And then hormones hit me, and all of a sudden, I had a crush on a girl named Kelly Harrington, who lived in my neighborhood. Kelly was 2 years my elder, and I was a chubby, nugget-headed kid with Pepsi bottle glasses. So what exactly is a nugget head? Well, if you can picture the Planner's Peanut Man sitting on the shoulders of a 12-year-old boy, that was basically me. My head looked like a peanut. Anyway, Kelly was this beautiful, beautiful girl with long black hair, olive skin, and dimples that would make the Grand Canyon jealous. I don't even know what that means, but just go with it. Long story short, we were at a neighborhood Christmas party one weekend, and somehow I had gotten a hold of Kelly's shoe. And Kelly was chasing me through the house. Don't ask me how I got it. I have no idea. All I knew was that as long as I had that shoe, I had the attention of the woman of my dreams. Being overweight and out of shape, though, she swiftly cornered me. And, you know, I'll never forget what happened next. I turned around, and it was like it was right out of a movie. I turned, our eyes locked. I looked at her. She looked at me. I looked at her. And then the words that she spoke, I'll never forget them. She said, "You're fat. Give me back my shoe." And for a second, just for a second, I think I blacked out for a second. And I remember feeling dazed. I gave her back her shoe. I walked across the street to my room where I proceeded to cry for what seemed to be hours. And as I laid in bed, I noticed something in the corner of my room that I hadn't really noticed there before. It was a weight set. And actually, it wasn't even a complete weight set. It was a single-arm dumbbell that had one weight on one side. You know, so it was out of balance. And to this day, I don't know what it was that picked me up off of that bed and compelled me to pick that weight up. But that is exactly what I did. I pushed that single weight to the middle of the bar and curled that weight until I couldn't curl it anymore. And then after I exhausted myself, I fell back on my bed and basically fell asleep. And the next night, after my mom put me to sleep, I basically jumped up, flipped the light on, began curling that weight again. And night after night, I did the same thing until one morning, I woke up and went into the bathroom where my brother was brushing his teeth. And I remember this like it was yesterday. I flexed my little arm in the mirror, and lo and behold, it was a bubble. I had developed a muscle on my arm. And I remember my brother stopping, spitting his toothpaste, and saying, "Man, where did that come from?" And at that moment, I was hooked. Up to that point, I was just doing whatever I could without any idea if it was right or wrong. Now I knew that what I was doing was making a difference. And you know, when I reflect on that night that Kelly spoke those words, those life-changing words to me, I hadn't realized up until that point that I was fat. But when she spoke those words, not only did I realize that I was overweight, but I also concluded that fat meant that love would be withheld. At that moment, I believed that Kelly didn't love me because I was fat. So it seemed logical that if I could stop being fat, Kelly would fall instantly in love with me and we would live happily ever after, you know? And that morning, after I saw that bubble on my arm, I knew that I could now change my body. There was a problem, though, and that was I was still fat. I got to thinking, though, at the time I had heard that we are fat because we eat too much. So that morning, instead of eating two bowls of Fruity Pebbles, I ate one bowl. And then when I got home from school, I remember that I had heard that people are fat because they don't run enough or they don't move enough. So I laced up my tennis shoes, which, by the way, hadn't seen much action at all. And I ran around my neighborhood until I was tired of running. And then I would just stop. And before I knew it, weeks had gone by and I had lost weight and I was feeling healthier and I was actually getting quite thin. Okay, so let's digress from the story and I'll get right to the first secret to achieving the health and body of your dreams in 2011. That event that I just told you about taught me a formula that I've used over and over again in my life since Kelly said those words to me. In fact, I call it the "You're fat, give me back my shoe" formula. And the formula goes like this. Write this down. BW times DAD equals AR. That's the formula. Okay, so let's start with BW, which hands down is the most important variable in that formula. And listen up, because this one is more important than anything else when it comes to having an amazing year. It's what makes everything else work. What do you think that one variable is? If you think back on that story, you know, I'll give you a hint. It's not the "you're fat, give me back my shoe." It wasn't those words that were spoken. It wasn't the fat itself. It wasn't the weight set that I saw or the moment that I saw that bubble on my arm. Hands down, without a shadow of a doubt, the most important factor in that story, in that experience, was Kelly. Here it is, guys. If you want to have an amazing year, if you finally want to achieve the body of your dreams and an extraordinary level of health or career or whatever, then get yourself a Kelly Harrington. Kelly kind of represents that thing that you obsess about, that thing that will get you up 30 minutes early on that cold, rainy Monday morning to lace up those dusty tennis shoes, that thing that will have you kind of reject that office birthday cake that mysteriously lands on your desk as though someone had just stuck a plate of stinking, steaming pile of dung on your desk. You've got to find your own Kelly Harrington. It doesn't have to be a person. It can be a goal, a thing. You can fit into that slinky red dress or Speedo if you're a guy with exceptionally bad tastes. But whatever it is, let it take over your life. Now, I know that many people frown upon obsessing over things. But you know what? That's exactly what we did as teenagers. We obsessed about everything. For better or for worse, we can say that one thing about our teenage year obsession, and that was We grew during that time because we had huge leverage on ourselves. Not to change to us meant we would die. I mean, in our own brains, that is. If I didn't have Kelly, I thought I would die. So find your Kelly Harrington to obsess about. Not forever, but let's just say for the next year, and then you can find another Kelly if you want. But find that one thing. You know, I've worked with many people on weight loss, and I've worked on many other diseases, from heart disease to cancer. I can usually tell, though, within a two-minute conversation with people who will accomplish their health goals because they have this big why that trumps all the why nots in their lives. Okay, so that's secret number one, and it's the BW in that equation. Define and refine a humongous big why that trumps all why nots in your life. So the BW stands for big why. That brings us to the DAD in the equation. What does DAD stand for? Well, when I was 12 and had newly discovered that I was fat and therefore unlovable, I had no degrees, I had no mentor, no personal trainer, no nutritionist. I had a library card and a burning desire to be loved by the most beautiful woman in the world. And you know what? That was all that I needed. So write this down. This is important. When the why is big enough, guys, the how will present itself. And that brings us to the DAD in the equation. You know, the you're fat, give me back my shoe formula, which again is BW times DAD equals AR. It stands for do anything differently. One of my favorite authors and speakers, Tony Robbins, once had an obese woman walk up to him and say that she was so inspired by his seminar that the moment she gets home, she's going to find a gym, she's going to look up a nutritionist, she's going to get a personal trainer, learn to cook healthy food, research diets, and she was finally going to lose the weight. And Tony said to her, you know, look, lady, you don't need any of that. You need a big guy standing behind you yelling, run! You know, look, if you have had a problem with weight, then I assure you of one thing. I've met so many people who struggle with weight. I can tell you one thing. They know more about health, weight loss, diet, and fitness than most doctors graduating from Johns Hopkins University. When you finally discover your big why, don't go looking for information. Just do something. Do anything differently, and you will get amazing results. After you jump into action, you can then kind of refine it along the way. But just get started, you know, with whatever you have in your life right then and there. So it's BW times DAD equals AR. AR stands for amazing result. Not sufficient result, not adequate results, amazing results. So here's what I want you guys to do. When you're hanging out by the water cooler or the coffee machine, I'm not sure how your office is set up, and let's say Regina Burstein stops by to grab a drink. Lean in and with an inquisitive look say, Regina, what's your big why? You know, what gets you jumping out of the bed in the morning? What's your Kelly Harrington? I'm just curious, you know, what is it? When you do this, I promise you one thing. You know, talk of the weather and the gossip will fall by the wayside because this is the important stuff. You know, why are we talking about Tiffany's latest office fling when we could be talking about finding our purpose? Talk about the important stuff. You know, most of you basically have no idea what your big why is. You know, just the fact that I've kind of brought it up, it kind of puts that cockatrice egg into your head and at the right moment, it'll hatch, but you've got to start doing the hard work of trying to figure it out. So start talking about it. That's what I'd like to see happen, at least in your offices, is just people, just a few people, kind of throwing that out there. All right, so let's move on to the next secret. This one is a doozy, because this one will magnify and multiply practically every action and effort that you make. All right, if you want to lose weight, applying this secret to your action plan will be like strapping a rocket to your back and sending your weight loss into the stratosphere. I mean, if you don't do this, and this is what I see, failure to utilize this one technique is the missing ingredient in people's lives, and it's responsible for more weight loss failures, more career stagnation, and more midlife crises than anything else I know about. Do you know what that missing ingredient is? It's someone to be accountable to. I tell people who are looking to lose weight that without a partner, counselor, or coach, it's just too easy to one more donut ourselves into gaining all the weight that we have lost up to that point. You know, finding an accountability partner is like, it's the key. I mean, it is the key to skyrocketing any effort that you take. It's so important that I believe there's no other tactic in your life that could be more powerful. By the way, this applies to your job and your life in general. It's just too easy to lie to ourselves and one more Facebook comment ourselves into wasting precious time at work that could be used getting results for your client or your company or your boss. And that's what moves your career forward. It's just too easy to one more chicken wing ourselves into heart disease in an early grave. I like to tell people that mediocrity kills and moderation kills in our society. And that is a good example of how it kills our career, it kills our weight loss results, is we moderate ourselves into mediocre results. So when we know that someone is there watching us with an eagle eye, you will change your actions. Okay, so with that said, what do you think would be the first thing that a good coach is going to want you to do with you before they do anything else? In fact, this could be a bonus secret. And if it's okay, I'll go ahead and give you this bonus secret, all right? The first thing a good coach will do is decide on what will be measured and then devise a plan for monitoring that change along the way. Why? Because there is a rule of human performance. You might want to write this down as well. We change what we measure. If we are measuring strength, for example, we'll perform actions that build strength. If we're measuring weight, we will make changes that promote weight loss. But most of us fail because we do not have a system in place for monitoring the results, or worse, we end up measuring the wrong thing. You know, a good example of this is to measure weight on a scale without measuring other things like body fat or measurements. The moment weight doesn't move or it goes up by 2 ounces, who here has done this, we basically pull the ripcord and we go back to our old ways because why? It's not working. You know, this weight loss is not working. And our brains will naturally want to go back to the old way of doing things, especially when it doesn't see results. So we have to make sure that we're measuring the right things in order to see results so that our needy brains are satisfied that the pain and suffering that we're putting ourselves through is worth it all. Okay, so let's go ahead and move into the realm of diet and health. For many of you, this secret is it's going to fry your brain. In fact, many will simply not believe it, and some of you will initially feel like I'm simply full of crap. But let's start with the current formula for weight loss before I kind of get into the real formula. So most weight loss experts will tell you that weight loss is easy. All you got to do is consume fewer calories than you expend and you'll lose weight. It's simple physics, people, right? That's what they'll tell you. Well, let me just say that the experts who teach this principle I want to karate kick them in the face because it's nonsense. How do we know it's nonsense? Because it doesn't work. In fact, it's the worst kind of lie because it not only keeps people fat, it makes them believe that they're fat because they're lazy gluttons who just do not have self-discipline. So if you take home one health message today, take this one home with you. It's secret number 3. You aren't fat because you eat too much and exercise too little. You eat too much and exercise too little because you're fat. Didn't I tell you that was going to kind of fry your brain? It still to this day fries my brain because you're thinking, how is that even possible? Isn't fat just stored up calories? You're telling me that fat comes first and then calories come second? So I don't have like a whole lot of time here to go into the scientific explanation of this principle. There is a whole long scientific dissertation on why this happens. So let me just kind of give you the Reader's Digest condensed version, and then I'll give you some tips on how to kind of turn that around. I'll warn you, this is a totally incomplete explanation, but I'll do my best to give you the gist of it. First, when a child hits a growth spurt, they develop a voracious appetite, right? Those of you who have kids know what I'm talking about. So let me ask you this question. Do they grow because they're eating more? And of course, the answer is no. They eat more because they're growing and the tissues demand nutrients and building blocks, which then compels the child to eat and eat and eat. And scientists are now finding that fat is not just a sack of stored calories. It's now listed as your body's largest and possibly most important endocrine organ in the body. In fact, it controls appetite, it controls mood, it controls fertility. I mean, it basically impacts every process within the body. This means that your fat cells are basically producing hormones that are communicating with every cell of your body, especially the brain cells. And I'll also warn you that fat's vocabulary is very, very limited. It can basically only say six words: eat, 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 and sit, sit, sit. You know, the calories in, calories out model goes like this. The calories that you consume minus the calories that you burn equals weight gained or lost. Sounds logical, right? The problem is this formula assumes that it always goes from left to right. In the complex biochemical systems of your body, the formula goes both ways. This means that you eat a bunch of calories that end up in the cells of your body. You store some energy, you enlarge the fat organ. Keep in mind that fat is an endocrine organ, so as the fat enlarges, the endocrine organ enlarges, which means more hormonal signals are getting kicked out into the body, which causes changes in the body that literally compels you to eat more and burn fewer calories. This is why overweight people can't seem to get enough food. This is why we have such uncontrollable cravings. This is why overweight people can't muster up the energy to go to the gym. The fat is literally compelling them to eat more and remain still for reasons that go well beyond the scope of this discussion. But I'll tell you that when I'm talking to people who are looking to lose weight, the room is very, very still. Because again, biochemically, they're being compelled to conserve energy. Just know, guys, that it isn't your fault. You're not lazy or gluttonous. You're biochemically out of balance, and you're at the mercy of the hormone signals that float through your blood. I mean, how many times have we said, we're not going to eat the cake, we're not going to eat the cake. Okay, maybe we'll just have a little bite. We take that first bite, and you black out, and when you come to, the whole cake is gone, or the whole pizza is gone. We all do it. I've done that. You know, we even see this phenomenon in overweight mice. I'll preface this by pointing out that mice, they don't worry about looking good in a bikini. When you see an overweight mouse in a cage with a thin mouse, the thin mouse is running around the cage frantically while the obese mouse just sits there and waits to be fed. I mean, it's amazing. And if you go to our website, cutthefatpodcast.com, and search for Fat Rats Don't Move, you'll see a demonstration of this phenomenon from the Howard Hughes Medical Center. They actually have an overweight mouse and a thin mouse in the same cage. It's pretty amazing. The thin mouse is just, I mean, they're all over the place, digging, running on the wheel, running around, and the overweight mouse is just sitting there kind of hanging out, waiting for somebody to feed him. And that's a biochemical response, because keep in mind, that mouse that's moving around isn't running around in order to keep his waistline thin. They don't care about that. They're just moving around because he's compelled to move around. It's amazing to see. So if you get a chance, go to cutthefatpodcast.com and search for Fat Rats Don't Move, and you'll see a video of that. Okay, so how do you fix this? How do we normalize the signals in the body that are compelling us to do things like not exercise and eat bunches of junk? Well, we don't have time to get into all of it, but let me give you one of the most important and powerful tips for normalizing your metabolism and controlling those cravings, all right? The hormone that has the most powerful effect on fat storage is a hormone that most of you have already heard about. It's called insulin. When insulin's high, you become this lean, mean, fat-storing machine. And the good news is that insulin is one of the easiest hormones to decrease in your body and normalize. Why? Because it's stimulated by food, especially carbohydrates. By limiting carbohydrate intake, you will inhibit insulin production. This is one of the most important changes that you can make for your health and your waistline. So if your goal is to prevent heart disease, to balance your mood, to prevent cancer, to sleep better, to return your libido to more youthful levels, then believe it or not, actually, please do believe it because it's true, controlling insulin is the key. At least it has to be your starting point. And so there are six ways to do this, six ways to control insulin. Number one, you can decrease the quantity of the carbohydrates that you consume in a meal. So you're eating lunch, instead of eating two slices of bread, you eat one. Or if you're at the Outback and you order chicken on the barbie with mashed potatoes and they bring out that that loaf of bread that was forged by the hands of God, you know, instead of eating that bread, you say, hey, look, I don't need the bread. And then you just eat your chicken and mashed potatoes. That's decreasing the quantity of the carbohydrates that you consume. By the way, it's a fallacy that you have to eliminate carbs from the diet. What we want to do is we want to decrease the quantity that you're consuming so that it promotes healthy balance in the body. And for each person, each person can tolerate different amounts of carbohydrates, all right? All right, number two, decrease the quantity of carbohydrates that we consume in a day. So if we eat 250 grams of carbohydrates in a day and we decrease that down to 200, well, you will see a slight decrease in the amount of insulin that you produce overall, and that can have a meaningful impact on your weight and your health. Now, it will level off, and eventually you'll have to probably decrease it further, but you may see results just by cutting carbohydrate intake by, let's say, 50 grams of carbs in a day. Number three, you can decrease the quantity of carbohydrates that we consume across multiple days, all right? So we've done decreased carbs in a meal, decreased carbs in a day, and decreased carbs across multiple days, meaning that you could decide today, I'm going to be low carb. I'm not going to eat any refined carbohydrates whatsoever. But then the next day you can say, well, today I'm going to have, you know, my chicken on the barbie with mashed potatoes. So you can alter carbohydrate intake that way. Number four, you can decrease the number of times that we consume carbohydrates within a day as well. So let's say you have three meals and three snacks on an average day, and every one of them contains carbohydrates. Then what you can say is, okay, I'm going to eat carbs during breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I'm only going to eat protein during the snacks. Okay, so that's another way of doing it. We could decrease the glycemic load of the carbohydrates that we're consuming. Glycemic load is a measure of how impactful that that food impacts the blood sugar, okay? And then number six, you can eat your carbohydrates after your workout when your body is most sensitive to carbohydrates. So if you want to have, you know, a fairly high carbohydrate meal, then and you know you're going to exercise after work, well, keep that high carbohydrate meal till after the workout when your muscles are going to sop up that sugar. Okay, so to review, this will be the conclusion. To review, the three tips are this. Number one, find your big why. Talk about your big why. Reason through that big why. You know, talk about what's important in life. And once you know your big why, do something, do anything differently that moves you towards the accomplishment of that goal. That's number one, the big why. Number two, if you want to have an amazing year, I mean, seriously, I'm talking the best year ever, find a coach. If you don't have a coach, find what I call a froach. A froach is basically a friend who's also a coach. You know, I might walk up to Michelle Fox and say, hey, Michelle, you know, I loved what you had to say about your big Y over there by the water cooler. How about if we be each other's froach? What do you say? Whatever you decide, just find someone else to be accountable to and then decide on what will be measured and then just get to work and make it happen. All right, that's number two. And then number three is to get healthy and lose weight. Control your carbohydrate intake. Controlling carbs will control insulin, which will promote weight loss and well-being. This is the first and the most important thing or step that you can take to improve your health. So that's it, guys. What do you think? Were you able to kind of pick out one or two tips that you could use to kind of make some change, make some shift in your life that'll help you achieve your goals for this coming year? Hopefully you have. Once again, thank you guys for tuning in to the Cut the Fat podcast. Hopefully, you know, we'll be up and running here for season three coming up in the next week or two, so stay tuned. Check us out on Facebook. We'll announce when the next podcast is released. And, you know, if you have questions, be sure to post them up there. We'd love to answer questions there on Facebook. And actually, you get a much better chance of getting that question answered if it's posted there than if you email it to me because of all the spam that we get. All right? So you guys have a great year. We'll see you in a week or two with the next Cut the Fat podcast. Get out there, make wise choices, and have fun, guys. That's what life's all about. All right, we'll see you on the next Cut the Fat podcast. It's not me.